Item time certain number 335, please.
Report on recent work of the city auditor, recreation scholarships, street improvement projects, police gang enforcement team.
Colleagues, last year I clearly stated my position in opposition to the gang enforcement list. I was asked if it would continue to exist or be replaced by some other list, and I was assured that it would not. I was deeply disappointed by what the auditor's report revealed. I have serious questions about the list, about how it is used, how it is managed, and what policies govern the list. Those were all key questions raised by the audit report. A key question is whether the existence of the list is in conflict with my direct direction. Chief Outlaw and I share the same concerns, and last week she directed the Bureau to immediately cease use of the list until a further evaluation could be conducted. I want to be very clear. I support Chief Outlaw's decision.
Not to hold an emergency session.
Mr. Walsh, this is a violation of council policy.
You are a distraction.
You'll have to leave, sir.
He throws me out, not you. Mr. Walsh, throw me out.
You have to leave.
Throw me out there, Mayor.
Come on, Mr. Walsh. Out.
Say the word, then I'll leave.
Mr. Walsh.
Mr. Walsh, please out. Leave.
Thank Say you. The word, then I'll leave.
Leave, Mr. Walsh.
Say the word. Don't be afraid, you Republican. Kill her.
Wow, that's the third death threat I've had this week. So I support Chief Outlaw's decision, and I trust the chief to come to a positive resolution. Anyway, good morning, Madam Auditor. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I am City Auditor Mary Hall Caballero, and I am here today to share results of our latest audits and introduce brief presentations by the staff who led them. As always, my hope is that the commissioners in charge of bureaus that are the subject of our audits take our results in the spirit in which we intend them, which is for the city to become more effective, efficient, and equitable. We also hope to use these opportunities to speak to you as a group to highlight themes across audits that can apply to operations and programs, whether they are the subject of any particular audit we are presenting. The three topics for today are recreation center scholarships, street improvement projects, and the gang enforcement team. And we are going to begin with the recreation center scholarships.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. For the record, my name is Christine Adams-Wanberg, and I'm a senior management auditor in the auditor's office, and I led the recreation scholarships audit, which was released in March. So this particular audit, we looked at the alignment between Portland Parks and Recreation's current scholarship policy and the city's budget direction. We also looked at barriers that the public experiences when they're trying to access scholarships. We found that there were clarifications that were needed on the scholarship policy, as well as inclusion of scholarships in the formal budget process, and that the Bureau needs a strategic outreach plan for scholarship information. Parks Users Recreation Scholarships really is a tool for equity and access, and those amounts for scholarships have been increasing over the past few years from $260,000 in 2008 to $290,000 in 2017. That's about 127% increase in those years. Parks is very sensitive to the affordability of its prices and the city policies that make access to that recreation a priority. The goals for access, however, are very difficult to reconcile with the city's, with the Bureau's need to generate that revenue for the community centers. So when scholarships are provided, the community centers lose funds they need to operate, and each center has a different goal for recovering those costs. The result of that tug between access and revenue generation is that a resident's ability to obtain a scholarship actually varies from center to center. So, for example, a center that needs higher revenue from fees or is behind in generating its revenue may be less able to provide a scholarship to somebody compared to a center that needs less fee revenue or has met its revenue goal. So effective government programs make this deliberate and clear connection between the policies and the budget. Both council and parks have very clear policies on supporting access to recreation services, but the policies in this case don't necessarily carry through to the budget allocation. We looked at other jurisdictions, and most others support a budget for scholarships, and they have multiple revenue sources that support that. So not necessarily just general fund money support those scholarships in the other jurisdictions we reviewed. Some actually restricts what the scholarships can be used for or who they can be given to as well. So evaluating these program goals is a best practice in determining how well progress is being made toward improved access. And we noted that the City Budget Office recommended to retain the current decentralized and unfunded system. Information is difficult to find on the website, and information in program catalogs is also difficult, and the blasts are not equally distributed to the city. In the graphic that you'll see is the information in the back of the program catalogs. It's in the very back, and you'll notice that it is incredibly tiny and basically tells folks to go to the community centers for more information. Information, we wanted to note, was also rarely provided in a language other than English. In terms of recommendations, we had four of them. We recommend to clarify and update the Bureau's scholarship policy and implement it consistently throughout the centers. And this update, we were hoping that Parks would have a work session with the council to get direction on whether those scholarships should cover a prioritized list of services, or if the services should be more flexible and more at the discretion of the customer. Second, to budget for scholarships and establish a funding source or funding sources. To report to the council periodically on the cost and performance of the program, and to develop a strategic outreach plan for scholarship information that overcomes those language and other barriers and really is consistent with the budget and revised scholarship policies. With that, I'd be happy to open up for questions.
Please, Commissioner Fritz.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you so much for your audit, Auditor Hall-Caballero. I really appreciate the daylighting of this issue, which I've been trying to get the council's attention for several years. And so I agree with everything in the audit. It's really very helpful. In fact, I'd like to read not only the beginning of that paragraph that you read, but the rest of it, just to emphasize. Effective government programs make a deliberate and clear connection between policies and the budget. Both City Council and Parks and Recreation have clear policies to support access to recreation services. These policies, however, do not carry through to the city's budget. The city does not set aside an amount in the budget to pay for scholarships. By not providing clear budget support for scholarships, each center is left to balance these competing needs to the extent possible. The Bureau cannot track scholarship costs accurately or provide transparent accounting to the public. So that, I think, is one of the important things. And colleagues, if you haven't had a chance to read this audit, it doesn't take very long. It's really clear and concise. As was noted, the amount of scholarships we're currently giving out is 590,000. Not coincidentally, we have a budget request for 600,000 in this year's budget. Once again, it's not recommended for funding. The audit really calls out how it was Director Charles Jordan, Commissioner Charles Jordan, who set the policy of everybody should have access to services. Now, we did have the work session that started the discussion on cost recovery. I would anticipate there will be another one where we will address that recommendation that you just made as to how to prioritize it should the council agree to fund the scholarships. We not only have the recreation-wide scholarships of 600,000 in the budget, but also an 80,000 request for cost recovery for preschool. I thank Eileen Argentina, the recreation manager, who's here today. It's something that weighs heavily on all of our hearts because people don't know about the scholarships. You have to read all the way to the back into the tiny print. You have to be able to read English. So it's not open, even the system that we have. What ends up happening is that people get the leftovers. So we can't give scholarships until the class has already got enough paying participants and there are a few spots left over. If we were really being equitable, we would be funding equal choice so that people who really need the services would be able to choose which class they want first rather than waiting to see if there's anything left over. And so I think this is really helpful, and I do encourage council to read it because it lays out much more clearly than I have ever been able to do why we need the specific line item in the budget.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Alexandra Furchak. I'm the Senior Management Auditor, and I led the street improvement projects, which was released in March, and this was an audit of the Portland Transportation Bureau. By reviewing selected transportation projects, the objective was to assess the planning, purpose, and evaluation process for street improvements. We found the Bureau of Transportation met expectations for the planning phase, but its evaluation of project effectiveness needs improvement. The city of transportation, the city's transportation system plan includes goals such as safety, equitable transportation, and prioritizing certain modes of transportation such as public transit and bicycling. The plans also include livability and prosperity goals, such as access to jobs, schools, and grocery stores, and supporting economic development. We found that projects included goals that supported the transportation system plan strategies, and the Bureau used an extensive public outreach process to communicate with residents and stakeholders and to obtain feedback on proposed street designs. Once projects are completed, the Transportation Bureau evaluates traffic data, for example, the number of cars or bicyclists using the improved streets or the number of car-related crashes. However, for livability goals, such as supporting local businesses or community development, it is not always clear whether the goals were accomplished or even how the street project changed the neighborhood. This includes any unintended consequences, such as traffic diversion to adjacent streets or changes to residents commuting. A full project goal assessment may require management to commit resources to a broader evaluation. To better achieve its goals through street improvement projects, we recommend that the Bureau of Transportation develop and fund a consistent evaluation process that includes livability and neighborhood impact assessments and use the results to inform the city's transportation plans. Thank you, and I'm open to any questions you may have.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and members of the Council. My name is Mindan Wong. I'm a senior management auditor, and with my colleague Elizabeth Pape, we worked on the audit of the Police Bureau's gang enforcement team. The gang enforcement team sends officers on patrol and also investigates shootings with a gang connection, and we audited both these aspects of gang enforcement. Our big question was, what are the results of their work? Let's start with patrol. The key takeaway is that Portland police must show that traffic stops for gang enforcement are effective. Officers pulled over drivers 1,300 times in 2016, and their goals were to deter gang violence and to seize guns. This map here shows that the gang enforcement team spends a lot of time in North, Northeast, and East Portland, and where the traffic stops happened. Officers usually use a minor traffic violation, like drivers not signaling a turn, to pull people over. And that's called a pretext stop because the traffic violation is a pretext for another investigative reason. We analyzed the stops data from the Police Bureau and found racial disparities. 59% of people stopped by the gang enforcement team were African Americans, and that is an overrepresentation compared to many other measures. For example, if you compare this to the driving population, less than 10% of the driving population is African American here in Portland. And I want to be clear, this does not allow you to conclude that officers have racial bias, or the opposite, that they do not have racial bias. But this analysis shows that officers are not randomly pulling people over, and that explanations like police is focused on those areas with high crime or high gang crime are also not sufficient. When we talked with community members during our audit, we heard concerns. For example, people worried that gang enforcement officers pull people over for minimal reasons and that they do not accurately target gang suspects. So to explain these disparities and to justify these frequent traffic stops, the Police Bureau needs to record the investigative reason for these traffic stops. Officers are not required to do that right now, and on this slide we show some examples of investigative reasons. We also looked at what happens after the stops. Police has not evaluated the results of these stops, but we found that 2% of encounters led to a weapon seized and about 10% led to an arrest. but the remainder were so-called no enforcement stops. The police bureau also cannot show if they stopped a gang suspect or someone with no connection to gangs. This needs to be tracked and explained to the community. And let me also discuss now investigations by the gang enforcement team. Here we are concerned about accountability and transparency. Even though the police bureau announced a few months ago that it would no longer designate people as criminal gang affiliate in police records, we found that the gang enforcement team has been and still is, or still was, collecting information at the end of our audit about people's gang associations. Specifically, the team created lists of most active gang members and associates, and that an example of that list is pictured here. The police bureau used a point system to rank people based on gang incidents and interactions with police. And these included shootings and gun seizures, but also non-criminal events. Now, what concerned us was that the police bureau did not have a policy that guided this information collection or had set up safeguards. The police bureau also hadn't told the public about this most active list, so community members did not have a chance to give input. This, of course, is against the backdrop of past community concerns and also potential legal questions. And finally, we made recommendations to improve case management at the gang enforcement team. The team opened 159 new investigations in the year 2016, and we estimated that it sent 31 cases that year to prosecutors. The police needs to keep track of the clearance status of these cases and report reliable information, such as the clearance rate, to the public and to counsel. Previously, the police bureau had reported a 25% clearance rate to counsel, but we didn't receive backup documentation for that figure, so we carried out our own analysis and arrived at this 19% estimate here. We encourage anyone interested in these issues to go to the Portland City Auditor website, where we have posted this audit report on gang enforcement, as well as all of our other audit reports, and that concludes our presentation, and we are available to respond to questions.
Very good. Let me respond with a statement, because we've had plenty of opportunities to go through this in detail, and I think you well know my opinion about this. But let me state a couple of truths. Truth number one is that this is a policy that derives from a culture that has been around for many, many years, if not decades. And I hope you have heard my forceful determination to change both the culture and the policies that are associated with the findings of audits like this. I'd like to read just a few paragraphs of my response because I'd like them on the record. The skewed demographics of gang-related shootings demand a heightened understanding of the activities of the gang enforcement team. Accordingly, the GET must be able to justify its practices through accurate and thorough data collection, as you've recommended. The audit correctly notes that it's difficult to demonstrate to the community that the GET is not engaging in racial profiling if there's inadequate data collection and analysis of stops, including so-called mere conversations. I'm pleased to share that several recommendations are currently either in practice or in process by the Portland Police Bureau. The Police Bureau has been collecting stops data since at least 2002 and has been issuing annual stops data collection reports since 2014. Data specific to the gang enforcement team will be published in the Police Bureau's annual stops data collection reports going forward. Outside of the report's recommendations, it's also important to highlight that the relationship-driven work of the gang enforcement team. The unit's efforts to build relationships have been instrumental in its collection of needed intelligence, its ability to intercede at critical points, and ultimately its ability to have a positive impact within the community. I applaud and wholeheartedly supported the recent anti-profiling bill, which was signed into law by the governor. It lays the groundwork for a new standard for the Portland Police Bureau to follow. No later than July 1st, 2018, the Oregon Criminal Justice Commissioner, in consultation with the State Police and Department of Justice, must develop and must implement a standardized method for all law enforcement agencies to record officer-initiated traffic and pedestrian stops data. Notably, this data must include the race, ethnicity, age, and sex of the pedestrian or driver, and the results of the stop. This will apply to the gang enforcement team, and it reinforces the work currently underway by the police bureau. One more paragraph. I fully support the recommendations outlined in this report. These recommendations raise critical questions that strike at the heart of the gang enforcement team's practices, and I intend to conduct a full review and analysis of the practices at issue. A particular concern to me is the treatment of so-called mere conversations and the apparent lack of unanimity between the Bureau of Emergency Communications and the Police Bureau. Though they may not fit the legal definition of a stop, there is community-wide recognition, and you heard this in many of your interviews, that mere conversations are more than community engagement. The Getz high rate of mere conversation certainly raises questions for my office, and I'd like for data collection for mere conversations to be included alongside annual stops data to provide a more holistic view of the Getz interactions with the community. Along with recording of investigative reasons for stops, there are some recommendations that deserve deeper analysis with respect to the feasibility and potential legal limitations. I'm committed to working with the Police Bureau to determine what those limitations are, if any, and to find solutions that will address the gaps identified in your audit report. Auditor, I appreciate your team's thorough analysis and review of the gang enforcement team. Thank you for your work. Chief Outlaw, I appreciate the fact that you wanted to be here today to hear this report, and I know you are committed to the principles that I've just outlined, and I look forward to working with you to address these issues amongst many others that we will be partnering on in the years ahead. So thank you, Chief, as well. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I was really it's a very interesting report. Thank you for your thorough work, and thank you for your response, Mayor. So on page 20, you talk about that few stops resulted in weapon seizures, and you cited the 2% the stops, and that there were no racial discrepancies between African-Americans who are oversampled and because of the more frequent stops and other races who, in terms of weapons carrying. Am I understanding that correctly?
Thank you, Commissioner, for your question. We are looking here at, we carried out two different analyses. The first one looked at who gets stopped, and that's where we saw the racial disparities. That's where we saw 59% of people stopped were African American. Now, a subset of people stopped can get searched by police officers, and that's what we have here on page 20 you were referring to. We also tried to analyze that data, and this analysis here did not show statistically significant differences in the search results among people of different races.
And you also mentioned, I think, 10% of the stops results in arrests. Did you look at the racial disparities, if any, in those?
No, Commissioner, we did not.
It's obviously a mine of information here. And you know, if the aim is to get the guns out of the community, especially out of the hands of people who are using them, the 2% is not a particularly high number, is it?
What we're asking the gang enforcement team and the police bureau to do here is to define goals for their gang enforcement patrol activities. Whether the 2% is high or low, I can't speak to that. I think the gang enforcement team would need to formulate expectations for its officers here.
Thank you. And then, Mayor, as part of the budget discussion, I'm going to be interested in more conversation about is having more capacity for officers to do self-initiated conversations Is that going to be helpful in improving safety in our community? Because I think some of these numbers kind of call that into question.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. So I have a short list of questions, which you may or may not be prepared to answer, but I want to put them out there, at least as concerns. First, can you tell me how many officers are assigned to gang enforcement?
Thank you, Commissioner. At the end of December 2016, there were 28 sworn personnel in the gang enforcement team. That includes about 8 patrol officers and the remainder investigative personnel as well as managers.
Okay, thank you. So I'm struggling to see the difference between some of the tactics described in the reports and kind of stop and frisk efforts, which we're not using anymore, I believe, and are kind of associated with racial profiling. So do you have comments on, I guess, that potential of using of very minor infractions in order to engage with an individual?
Thank you, Commissioner. As we point out in the report, a lot of the stops initiated by the gang enforcement team are for minor traffic violations. So the officers are driving around neighborhoods in Portland and pull people over for running a stop sign, not having their turning signal on, speeding, etc. And what we're asking then the Police Bureau here to do is to explain the results of these traffic stops against goals for the gang enforcement team, such as contacting gang suspects, how many of these stops and encounters resulted in a contact with a gang suspect as opposed to someone with no connection to gangs, or gun seizures, or arrests, or other goals that the Police Bureau might articulate.
I don't feel like I made that question very clear. It's that we've decided that certain practices are no longer acceptable, but it seems that these practices are very similar to those that we no longer employ. So that's my concern there. The second question on the patrol audit is, when can we begin seeing the data regarding the effectiveness of the tactics used by the GETS patrol team? Is there like a plan or a timeline?
I think that in the response there are some deadlines that the chief has articulated that she wants some of the recommendations to be done by. I am not sure about that particular issue, if there's a date specific that she wants.
I don't have the response in my binder. So, and then as far as the investigations and gang designation audit, it's disappointing to hear that you weren't able to access the 2016 records, given that intelligence records are supposed to be maintained for 5 years. So what actions will be taken to hold staff accountable for that?
I would refer that question to the chief.
To the chief, okay. Yeah, some of these questions probably are best for the chief. The GET is unique because it's one of the few units within PPB that has its own crime analyst who's supposed to provide in-depth research and data analysis. And I see in your recommendations that the data should be collected and analyzed. Can you give me a little more clarity on what is currently being gathered and how it's being utilized in to further the efforts of GET? This is of particular interest to me because we seem to be aggregating data but not analyzing it and using it.
I think what the audit is pointing out is that the unit has the resource of a crime analyst, and that crime analyst would be dependent on information being brought back from the field about what the officers are trying to accomplish and what they are accomplishing. And I think that goes to the heart of the recommendations. If we understood the investigative reason that gang enforcement team officers are pulling people over, then you could do that back-end analysis to see, are we being effective? Was there a suspect in that car? Was there a gun in that car? And so I think that that's the heart of the recommendations around that analysis.
And then my final question is probably also best answered by Chief Outlaw, but I would like to state it. So one of the intended outcomes of the gang designation system is to increase officer safety, so officers know in advance when they're interacting with a gang member. But there's a concern that this is priming officers to act in more hostile ways with community members who are on the list, who may not be, well, since there's no proof that the designations are focused on the most dangerous offenders, they may not warrant that level of...
And I think our concern about the list was that there were people who maybe should have been on the list who weren't on the list, and people who are on the list that maybe shouldn't have been on the list. And so I think that diminishes the effectiveness for officer safety. And I believe that the officers were also concerned about the comprehensiveness of the list and whether it was useful for that purpose.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, many of us are troubled by the findings of this audit. Good relationships with the community members are essential to public safety, and they're essential to the safety of our officers. And the practices highlighted in the report, I think, demonstrate with only a third of our African-American community members express trust in our police force, which is something that we really need to remedy. But I do appreciate Chief Outlaw and the mayor's acceptance of the auditor's recommendations, and I'm looking forward to seeing some action. Thank you.
Mayor?
If I could just respond quickly to that. You have my commitment to action. I will be also asking that the chief and I get the tools and the resources we need to implement that action. And the auditor, I think, has done a great job of raising the questions and the issues and identifying the problems. It is our job to solve them. And I, as I hope my comments made very clear, there are some longstanding issues and policies and cultural aspects and training issues and data collection issues that will need to be addressed. None of this is going to come easy. None of it's going to come cheap. So I hope I'll have that support. Commissioner Fish.
I want to turn to page 16 of the gang crime investigations audit. And I thought it was interesting that you brought the Chicago experience into the conversation, and that we appear to be loosely based on, although they have much more robust safeguards that you've urged us to review. You also cite to professional associations and then model policies done by third-party groups. But because you invoke Chicago, which you know, just in some ways may not be the model that I would normally want to turn to as the path forward for us on this, what are the other cities that are, in your view, doing a better job than we are in terms of promulgating policies, collecting data, communicating with the public, and following a number of the recommendations in your report, other than Chicago?
Thank you, Commissioner. In our audit, we did not look at other cities or other police agencies. We're mentioning the Chicago Police Department here because, as we understand it, the Portland's most active list as a methodology that tried to follow the Chicago model, but during our audit, we did not look at other police agencies or cities in detail.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Udaly.
I just wanted to commend you on your budget pivot a moment ago.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good, too. I'm kind of proud of myself.
Make a pivot myself, which is that, given the results of this audit, I am not convinced that this is the best use of these existing resources. So while I am open and actively engaged in conversations around the police budget and staffing, I want to make sure that we are making the best of our existing resources and our existing sworn officers.
No disagreement there.
Great.
Commissioner Fish.
I think we're probably winding down here, so I just want to, I think it's important to note that it was not that long ago that the auditor issued audits, issued a press release, and we did not have the formal process of a transmittal like this with the auditor and the senior staff presenting the findings to council, having this conversation. I actually thought it was odd that we didn't do that, but there was also a different climate, I would say, I put it politely, in terms of relationship between a former mayor and the auditor's office. So I want to compliment both the auditor and the mayor for continuing this practice of having the auditor's office formally present to the council. I think it's very important that we hear this directly and not just have an audit delivered to our office. It also gives us each a chance to ask questions. And on issues of this significance, you know, where we're likely to have follow-up work sessions and conversations, I think it's vitally important. And, Madam Auditor, you know, you have done a great job during your tenure, in my view, and one of, I think, the things that I'm most admiring of is the way you've defended the independence of your office, both as an advocate and at the ballot box. But we have six elected officials at this city, and you are one of the six. And when you do audits, they should routinely come to council for presentation and conversation. I just, again, because that was not the practice for a long time, I want to observe that I think this is a real plus for transparency and accountability, and thank you and the mayor for continuing this policy.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks. Very good. I'll accept a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Saltzman to accept the reports. Please call the roll.
Fish.
I think I already just gave my closing speech. So thanks to the auditor and the auditor's team. Thanks to the mayor for his commitment to address this in a timely and aggressive way. I do appreciate the fact that the chief is here to hear this conversation. And I would suggest that because of the complexity of these issues and the follow-up that's needed, I would hope that in the early fall we could arrange a work session at council to have a chance to a mayor to continue this conversation with the chief and see if we're heading in the right direction. And to the extent you or the chief believe in the future that additional resources are needed at the Bureau for some purpose, I think we should have that conversation well in advance of the next budget session, budget cycle, so that we can understand the thinking of the Bureau more clearly. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I also want to thank you, Madam Auditor, and your staff for coming to the council to present your audits in the quarter. I do think it's very healthy dynamic for all of us to hear the audits. And, you know, there is a tendency in the city to silo things, and we tend to not delve into issues that relate to another commissioner's bureau or the mayor's bureau. And similar to when we created the Technology Oversight Committee, the whole idea was to make sure that these issues around technology and software were elevated beyond an individual commissioner to the whole council. And so the whole council has buy-in on these issues. So thank you for doing this, and I really appreciate it. Aye.
You Daly.
Well, thank you for the reports. I'm always excited to read them. It's a education, a way to get to know the city a little bit better. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for bringing the reports to council. Thanks to Eileen Argentina from Parks and Chief Outlaw from Police. I particularly appreciate that only one of the four titles has the word but in it. And so the titles are framed in a very positive way, and which says what we need to do. That the Police Bureau must show that traffic stops are effective, and lack of accountability and transparency reduce the community's trust in police. And I concur with Commissioner Udaly, since we don't have many opportunities to discuss the budget in advance of the mayor's proposed, that I'm not entirely convinced, based on these audits, that we're using current resources effectively, or that increasing the number of patrol officers is necessarily going to help solve some of the issues identified here. And so that discussion needs to happen, because we all agree that we want our police officers to be safe, we want our community members to be safe, and we want people to trust, be able to trust through a demonstration that there isn't a disparity in who gets stopped and what the outcomes are. So I hope that you will schedule another audit on this relatively soon, because I think that this is a measurable way for us to see, are we making progress on equity? Are we making progress on addressing racial disparities within the police bureau? And I'd very much appreciate the analysis from an independent perspective. As I also said, I definitely appreciate the recreation scholarships and even the graphic showing the burdens and the barriers and the tug of war between access and meeting fiscal responsibilities for the community centres. So thank you. Aye.
Wheeler.
Thank you for the report. One of the great oddities of our form of government is that I am perhaps one of the only, and maybe the only person in the United States, who is both a mayor and the police commissioner. And I will write a book on this subject someday, because it's fraught with peril and contradictions. I also acknowledge, as I read these audits, and as I indicated a moment ago, how much work there is to do with regard to building the effectiveness and the accountability of the Portland Police Bureau. That's why I hired Chief Outlaw to come in here and be my partner to actually get it done. So not talk about it, not write reports about it, not whimsically wonder about what the future could be, but to actually do the hard work. And I am hearing my colleagues' admonitions. A quick vote tells me I don't, as of this moment, have support for increasing the police bureau budget at all. And so what I'm hearing is make the case. And I will rise to that challenge. I think that's an appropriate challenge, and it's the right one. And the chief has heard that we need to come up with a strategy to address this long, long-standing issue in the Portland Police Bureau, and we need to come up with it very, very expeditiously. So thank you for the report. Thanks for the challenge. I vote aye.
Thank you.
Next item, 3.